I want to welcome you today to the Clear Focus Evangelism Workshop. We're dealing with evangelism maps. We're going to talk about the identity of the seed tonight, and we'll talk about the five gospel givens and mistakens. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to address these evangelism maps, and this evening we're going to be talking about specifically the five gospel givens dealing with presenting the seed of the gospel to one who's lost. Now, along with that, what I want to be able to give you is a download that you'll be able to get a hold of. And if you'll go to my address, I'm going to put up here on the screen for you, purposecoachingblog.com/workshop. That will take you to the web page that actually some of you may already be watching as well. At the very bottom, just below this video, at the very bottom of the page, you'll find there a graphic which you can click on and download. It will look like this. Let's see if I can kind of screen it out there. It'll look like that. You can download it to your computer and get hold of this. That's what we're going to be talking about just a little bit here tonight. We're going to be talking about the pattern that will help us select the right seed that we teach others. And in this, I think what you're going to discover here is, obviously, those of us that are on here are independent Baptists. We're going to agree on the gospel. The problem is making sure that the person who's hearing what we're saying is actually hearing what we're saying and what we're meaning, and not attributing some other kind of meaning to it. That's where the real difficulty in giving the gospel to people comes in quite often. But we're going to address that a little bit tonight. Now, we're also going to be opening up for any questions, and you'll find my address right down there. Get my hand over here. There we go. Right down there, right below my name, pdhammett@gmail.com. If you drop me an email, please drop me an email, drop a question or maybe a comment. I'll be watching for those tonight. Would like for you to be a part of what we're doing here. I'm Doug Hammett. I'm with PurposeCoachingBlog.com, presently working in the southern part of Africa, in the country of Botswana. May very well be making a change soon, it's looking like, but going to be staying in the southern continent here somewhere is our plan and our hope anyway. Now, we're going to be joined by others who are going to be part of the discussion, and thus far looks like Pastor, I believe, who we got on here? Here we go. Let's see. Ah, there we are. Okay. All right, brother. It's good to have you here with us. Do you have your sound on? You able to talk?
Yes, I should be. Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. Yes, I can hear you. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us where your church is, just briefly.
I'm Pastor Rick Rust. I'm in Liberty Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio.
How long have you been there pastoring?
This January will be 7 years.
7 years. Okay. All right. And you came from where originally?
Toronto, Canada.
Oh, you're a Canadian. I see. All right. Are you a citizen from there?
Yes, I am. Yes. I have my green card here in the States now, and in a couple years hoping to get my citizenship.
That's wonderful. And you're wearing a green sweatshirt, looks like, as well. Huh?
Toledo Rockets.
We'll forgive you for that, brother. All right. Appreciate you joining us here tonight. And all right, we're gonna just get started here and dive right in. Let me say to you again, if you've not already done so and you're joining us here, please go to this address, purposecoachingblog.com and /workshop. Go to the very bottom of the page, and there at the bottom you'll find the download that we're going to be talking about here in just a couple of moments. Looks like Brian Fetterman has joined us as well from Lehigh Valley Baptist. We've got his picture up there, but maybe he'll come on and join us here in a second. Is that you, Brian?
Yep.
Your picture's all muted out on us. Ah, there we go. Okay. All right. He's got the shaggy dog look on his... around his chin there. All right. Brian, tell us about yourself real briefly. Where are you at?
where am I at?
Yes. Tell us where you
I'm
serve.
Assistant. I serve assistant to the pastor at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church in Emmaus, PA.
Okay, wonderful. All right. And you've been there on staff how long?
A little over 2 years, I think.
Okay. Came on staff just after I left there, and Brian and his wife came to know Christ, and God's done a great work in their lives, and now they're serving there at the church and working as well in a campus ministry. So good to have you here with us, Brian. Okay, let's head on back over. We're going to talk about the Clear Focus Evangelism just for a moment or two and kind of get you up to speed here with what we're... Whoop, that's the wrong one. Let me grab the right one. Here we go with our diagram here of the Clear Focus Evangelism webinar. And I trust those that are on board with us here are able to watch this or have watched this already, this particular webinar. The equation up there, very basically, that we're setting apart is this. The F plus the S times the Q equals Clear Focus Evangelism. The F stands for the frame, and we're talking about the foundational reference material that a person really needs to be able to look at the world through, these glasses that help them be able to see things God's way. And then the S, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, deals with the seed, and then the rest of this we'll save for a little less or a little later. You notice here the three circles, concentric circles, come together, and the sweet spot's really right in the middle. And this is what I'm finding to be the most powerful way to be able to witness to an individual is if we can adjust their frame of reference enough that they can begin to see things from God's perspective. And then we can introduce the truth of God's word about the gospel, the seed which they need to understand and grasp in order to be born again. And then if we can approach it with the right method in turn, we'll see some great things going on in people's lives. And so that's kind of where we're at. Now, tonight we're dealing with the S, where we talk about the seed, if you will. And as we talk about the seed, get that on over there on our screen if I can. As we talk about the seed is, in essence, it's sequential, essential expressions of doctrine. Now, let me unpack that just real, real fast, if I may, sequential. We need to understand that when we're presenting the gospel to a person, truth lays on top of truth on top of truth. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. And we need to understand that if a person has the wrong assumptions, when we try to lay truth upon the wrong assumptions, those assumptions end up taking the truth that we give them and makes it null and void because they don't grasp what we're trying to say. So we need to be aware of what needs to be taught first, second, third, so that we can bring a person on to truth so that they can come to this place of being able to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Sequential, essential. Now, there's all kinds of truths in the Bible, a lot of things in the Word of God, but a person doesn't necessarily have to know everything in the Word of God. For instance, you don't have to know who Noah's father was in order to be born again. You don't have to know the number of days and blood in order to be able to be born again. You don't have to know where Jonah went to preach to the city that he preached in and know all the results in order to be born again. There are a lot of things in the Word of God that you don't necessarily have to know in order to be born again. But on the other hand, there are these irreducible complexities that we've talked about. There are certain truths that we dare not subtract from our message lest the message become of no effect at all. So there are sequential, essential expressions. Now, these expressions need to be truths that are laid out, that are given to a person. Though certainly the Bible talks about every man has light from God, and Christ lights the path of every man that comes into the world. At the same time, the truth is that the place we get our light from to be born again is the Word of God. And a person needs to understand the truths that God's Word teaches, and that is what we are preaching or announcing, declaring to the world, if you will. And they are doctrines. They are teachings from the Word of God. And as we grasp those truths, they become transformational, and the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. And literally can take a person and certainly before the days of TNT and all the rest, but the gospel is God's powerful explosion in a man's heart to transform his life and turn him from 180 degrees from following the way of Satan to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, tonight what I want to do is lay out for you something to give some thought to. This is something I've worked on for myself and asked myself, what are these sequential essential expressions of doctrine that need to be grasped? And while looking at these, what they become are five gospel givens, five truths around which whatever teaching I do in the gospel, these five truths need to be laid out, and they need to be grasped in a certain order as they are laid out. I need to be sure that these people that I'm dealing with are understanding and grasping the implication of these truths, not just a polyparrot method of saying things. Here in Africa, for instance, the major method of teaching here in the southern part of Africa, certainly in Botswana where I am, is giving words to the students and teaching the students how to repeat those words back again. Now, that doesn't necessarily, rote memory does not necessarily bring about a grasping of truth that causes a person to link truths together and see the implications in a person's life. And so, in giving these truths, we want to do more than just give them the words and have them repeat them back to us. That's a hollow conversion at best. But we want to be able to make sure that the truths are connecting with their soul, with their thinking, with their emotions, with their lifestyle, and they're putting these things together to where it becomes a life-altering relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, having said all that, there are some mistakens. When we give them the gospel givens, there are mistakens. Things that people make mistakes about, and if we as the gospel presenter just gloss over those mistakens, we don't take time to uncover where this person's heart is at, we may very well just lead them right on into repeating certain words and repeating certain doctrines, but not really grasping them and not having a transformation of life. And that's what we want to keep from happening, so that the person's life is really honestly transformed. And so the gospel givens and mistakens, if you will, we're going to start here with number five at the very top. This is where we want to end up. The gospel given is we want people to receive Christ. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's a reception of Christ. Now, here's where the mistakens come in, and especially here where I'm at. It's not a matter of baptism. Most every African here that I would talk to in Botswana, and I'd ask him what is the gospel, somehow would get around to the point that the gospel or the way to be born again is to be baptized. And that water baptism somehow is the opposite of what the Word of God has to say. It's not by baptism the person is saved. It's not a formula. And by that I mean, many times we are asked here in Africa, and I've been asked this multitude of times in America as well, just tell me what are the steps, what do I need to do in order to be born again? What do I need to do to be right with God? All right, let me check it off like a checklist and be able to say I've done those things. And we need people to understand that receiving Christ is not just following some formula as such. And then, third of all, it's certainly not church membership. And often in America, certainly here in Africa, again, it's the same. People equate being born again or being right with God or this new birth or receiving Christ as really being a matter of joining a church and belonging to the right church, and that somehow takes you on to heaven. I remember a fellow one time who told me, I asked him, I said, well, if you died today and stood before God and God said, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? He said to me, I'd say, Pastor Hammett is my spokesman. He'll talk for me. And I was dumbfounded. I'd never had anybody say that before to me. And I said, well, you know, John, I really appreciate that. And I've known you for a while now, but let me just tell you, I won't be able to speak for you in that day. And so I tried from there to fumble on through and to be able to give him the gospel again. But I thought it was rather an odd answer. But I think that maybe there are multitudes of people that really believe that. The preacher will give the answer for me. And they don't necessarily have a personal relationship with Christ. So first is receiving Christ, or the end goal, should we say, number five, is receiving Christ. But that brings us to number four. Before we can receive Christ, we need to understand we must rely on Christ alone. Rely on Jesus Christ alone. It's not relying on Christ plus anything else. It's only Jesus Christ. Now, it's like a man jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. And he has, now most parachutes have two parachutes folded inside, your safety one and so on. But suppose he only had one. And you'd have to push me out, I think, in order to get me to jump out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute on. Certainly with a parachute off, you'd have to push me really hard. But that parachute, when you jump out of that airplane, you are trusting the parachute and the parachute alone. You are trusting that it's going to work for you. You don't have a second backup plan if that thing does not work. And so it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we come to Christ, we're trusting not just in Christ, but we are trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Not Jesus plus the church, not Jesus plus our good works, not Jesus plus obey God, not Jesus plus I'll do better, not Jesus plus anything else. It's Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says that it's Christ, his death upon the cross, that redeems us from the curse of the law. Now, in order to understand that, just think for a moment, we need to step back to point number three, and that is we need to renounce our self-effort. Isaiah 64:6, all of our righteousness are like a filthy rag. And when we look at our righteousness, we like to think that we're really fairly good people. And that's a gospel given, that we are not good people, and we need a Savior because we are not able to save ourselves. We are destitute and apart from God. So the gospel mistaken, if you will, the mistaken part that that people often take is they think, well, I'm able to be able to take care of myself. I need Christ plus me, and I'm good enough to be able to bring myself along. Or they might say, I can do better by myself. I can improve my life. I can make myself better and move forward, and I'll do some good things along with believing in Jesus, along with following the Bible, along with obeying God, and all of that put together will somehow add up to a sum total of my salvation. Not at all. A person first must understand that they are not. They must renounce their own self-effort, be willing to say that my efforts of saving myself are not enough to save me, nor are they enough to even help me get right with God. How often have I seen people who thought that they really honestly in their heart were fairly decent people? Yes, they're sinners. They see that in the Bible, and they've got to admit that. But the truth is they're really not that bad in their eyes. And friend, as long as a person thinks that they're good in God's eyes and they're good, reasonably good, they're not a candidate for salvation because they're still thinking that they can get to heaven on their own. And so until those legs have been knocked out from under them, there'll be no new birth in that person's life. And then number two, if you will. Now, notice we're going backwards here. Number five, receiving Christ, relying on Christ alone, renouncing self-effort. Number two is repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. I know this is an argument in America among some church folks, and they say, well, I don't believe in repentance. Others say, well, repentance really isn't anything in the Bible to be taught and thought about. Well, Jesus thought it was. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist preached repentance, the apostles preached repentance, and I believe that we ought to preach repentance as well. Now, the problem becomes we need to properly grasp what repentance is. Definition that I use often is an abhorrence of our own sin, an abhorrence of ourselves. It's a recognition that I have wronged God, that I am wrong with God, and a deep desire to be different and to change. Now, a lost man, my understanding of Scripture, cannot change himself. He's powerless to be able to do that on his own, but he must desire that change to take place and desire for God to work in his life so that he can be a different person. Now, in light of that, here in Africa, I was rather shocked when I came here and I began to realize I have never one time in the 3 years that I've lived here in Botswana, I've never one time run onto an African who, when talking to them about repentance, has said, "I don't believe in repentance." Now, I've run on to many in America who will challenge the thought of repentance, but I've never met one African. The problem is, in talking about repentance here, that they are mistaken more often than not about what it means. And what they think it means is in essence, penance. They think that repentance is them doing good things to make up for wrong things and somehow being able to be accepted by Almighty God. And so they've got the idea, really, what I was raised with as Roman Catholic, they've got the idea of some kind of a penance system that if I can do enough good things, good deeds, to alter the bad deeds in my life, the two will be added up and I'll end up being in rather decent shape. And as long as they think of repentance as a penance issue, they'll never be born again. That mistaken must be corrected in their life. And then it's certainly not a work salvation. And this seems to be a problem, even among those who sometimes teach about repentance. They have a wrong grasp of it, as if it were somehow, I must give up all of these sins. I've got to name them all and give every single one of them up. And if I miss one, that I can't be born again. Repentance is not a recognition of every sin I've ever committed and putting away of all of those things. It's a recognition that the problem is not just the things I've done. The problem is me. It's on my inside. It's that I'm bent in the wrong direction. And a repentance, a willingness to turn from Satan to serve the living and true God, and a willingness to let him run my life, if you will. Repentance brings about this turning, is what Paul told us in the book of Thessalonians. And then last of all is really first of all, if you will, Romans 3:23, we need to recognize our sin, our personal sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here's where the problem comes in with this. Many people will admit, yes, I'm a sinner. But they say it almost as if they were saying, yes, I'm a human. Yes, I'm a man. Yes, I'm a woman. Yes, I'm a person. Yes, I'm breathing air. It's almost as if, well, what's the big deal? Everybody sins. I know that. I sin. You sin. So we're all in the same boat. What's the big deal? Surely God won't care. But God does care. He hates sin. He abhors sin. He wants nothing to do with sin. And we must recognize this term sin and being a sinner as being much deeper than just admitting to the fact that we are human, if you will. And this is where the mistakens come in a lot of times. I sin like all people. And that's the mistaken that many people make. Here in Africa especially, they understand everybody's stolen. Everybody has lied. And everybody has committed adultery. I mean, almost 100%, as you walk down the street, talk to people, you ask them those three questions, everybody, if they have any semblance of trying to tell you the truth, will admit to those three sins very quickly. And at the same time, they will admit to those sins, yet they feel as if everybody does them, and so it's really not that bad. We're all in the same boat, and surely God will understand that. Others see this sin as nothing more than a mistake. Hey, everybody makes a mistake, so what's the big problem? And then, of course, last of all, is the idea of, well, I'm sorry. Now, here in Africa, the term sorry, like probably in America much of the time, the term sorry doesn't mean any personal responsibility. I've wronged you, please forgive me. No, sorry means, well, I'm sorry that you got offended because I did that. I'll do it again if I get the chance, kind of an attitude. And that's kind of where people are when it comes to the whole issue of sin. I'm sorry, I'm going to go do it again, but I guess if I got to say I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay, we'll admit that, but let's just move on. It's no big problem. Now, when we look at these gospel givens, if you will, from number one on up to number five, they're in a sequential order. When I recognize my sin, then I need to come to a place of repenting, a willingness and a desire to be different and to be changed. Then move to number three, a renunciation of my own self-effort, to realize that if I am the sinner and I am the one that's wrong with God and it's what's wrong inside of me, then I need to realize that even my good efforts will not make me right with God. I need God to step in and make a difference in me, which brings me to relying upon Jesus Christ alone. Now here it means understanding that the death of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can pay for my sin. Excuse me, I cannot pay for my own sin. I have to have someone else stand in as my substitute and take my sin penalty for me. That's what Jesus did. And when he paid for that sin, he paid for all of it, and so we trust in him alone. Which then brings us to number five, to receiving the person of Jesus Christ and in order to be born again. And he comes to dwell in our hearts by faith and to live within us. Thus is the gospel presentation. Now, around those five truths, you can use many passages of Scripture. You can do many things in dealing with a person, but most important, you need to be uncovering their heart thinking about these particular issues if you're going to be able to be a help to them in presenting the gospel. Not only do we need to tell them the truth, we need to make sure that that truth gets through to their head and into their heart to grip their heart and make a difference in their life. So those five are what I've used. Now, let me just say, there may be somebody on here, maybe one of the fellows that have joined us already here live, or maybe someone else that's watching. I'd really encourage you, if you've got another set somehow of gospel seed that you use, I'd certainly welcome seeing that. This is something I developed a number of years ago and have been using it for a number of years. But nothing sacred about what I've done. It's just my piecing together of some Bible truths that have kind of helped me as I work with people to know where I start, where I go next, and move myself right on up to number five. So to the point of them receiving Jesus Christ. Okay, let me go to the two fellows that are here with me, Brother Rust and Brother Fetterman, and ask both of you, if you would, maybe you've got a thought on this, a question, or certainly any input that you've got would be very welcome. Who wants to go first?
Well, I have a question. Do you use that card? Like, if you were here in America, would you take that card to somebody's home and say, let's go through these five steps?
Boy, there's a good question. No, I do not. What I do is I have these mentally in my mind. Now, let me say, I have used those five steps in a number of gospel tracts that I wrote, and they became kind of the steps that I would use. And I often will pick different passages of Scripture. There's numbers of passages that a person could use in lieu of the ones that I've chosen there. And so when I go to a person's house, I don't necessarily use the five steps. I certainly don't use this card. This is the first time I just developed the card, actually, the past few days for this particular workshop, but these truths are expressed in a number of the tracts that I've written, and they kind of give me a guide, and they seem to have been used of the Lord. So I guess maybe that kind of comes to the answer there. Does that clarify any, brother?
Yes, but I'm just wondering, like, would you recommend like having altar workers use it, or even new soul winners use it when they go into someone's home? and just say, can I show you, for example, they could just say, can I show you five steps that I believe the Bible teaches will help us to get an understanding of how to get to heaven?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think really in training older workers and people that are dealing with folks in the home, I think what we've got to be careful of, and this is where my concern is, that we don't give them some rote memory thing that they're memorizing and just handing off a spiel. The idea being, let's lay the pathway so that they know the pattern that they ought to be teaching, but they learn the pattern well enough that they can interact with a person and figure out, for instance, maybe they're understanding they're a sinner, they need to turn from sin, but at the same time, they're not really trusting in Jesus Christ alone. They're kind of hedging their bets, if you will. All right, preacher, I'll pray with you this prayer, but I'm going to keep on going to the confessional at the Catholic Church, and I'll hedge my bets in one or the other. Maybe it'll get me into heaven. We need to be alert enough to figure those things out as we're talking to them and try to understand where they're being tripped up, and then be able to bring the Word of God to bear on their situation to illuminate what they're missing and where they're missing the truth. So, does that help?
Yeah, it does. And you know, this is a very thorough, which I like about all your material. On Sunday, we had a lady come forward who used to attend one of the big seeker-sensitive churches here. And she said, I want to be saved again. So I called one of my altar workers over and told her, I said, she wants to be saved again, knowing that she would know what that meant. And the lady said, well, when she went to this big seeker-sensitive church, they just had everybody come forward at the invitation and pray this prayer with them. And that's what she thought was going to happen again. And our workers told her how we want to make sure that people totally understand from the scriptures. And this person really appreciated that and trusted Christ as her Savior because of it.
Wow. That, you know what that almost says, brother? And of course, I've seen people like that, like you're saying, happen so often in America. But it happens here as well. But what it really says is that lady was seeking still, because she's still looking for truth. She hadn't found it yet. And now she's arrived at a church that's actually going to care enough about her soul to spend some time with her, and really ought to be a clue to anybody that's alert at all with the gospel when somebody says, I need to get saved again. Obviously, they're not trusting in Christ alone and coming to a point of a full decision in trusting Him. So, wow, that's a great illustration of this very truth here of mistakens that people have when they hear Bible truths about salvation. So, Brian, do you have a thought here?
A couple of things. It seems like given number one, and well, at least given number one is almost part of the frame. In terms of what the person's worldview is when it comes to themselves and their what man's nature is, part of addressing number one, I think, can be done in sorting through the frame with a person. But then it would obviously continue into these other things, which take it further. One of the things that struck me too,
Go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to make a quick comment. I was out in the village Sunday, and I was teaching a group of people there. The days leading up to the flood, how Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but people were their hearts were wicked continually. And as we laid that truth out, you should have seen the eyes open up on the people, and they began to say, that's what our problem is. Our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are crooked. And they began to see this truth. So by the time we get over here to actually presenting the seed and walking through those five steps, if you will, as we give the gospel to them, they will have already grasped much of this. What you're saying is insightful, because sometimes people say, well, what we're teaching from the book of Genesis, it just takes so long. No, you are teaching the truths that are part of the gospel presentation to begin with. They're laying all that foundation. So that's a great insight that you got there. I appreciate it. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm going right back to you. Here we go.
And just thinking about it a little more, giving the example that you gave kind of points up that the given number one here is actually the frame would be recognizing man's nature in general, whereas step number one here in the seed is actually making it personal.
Yes, very true, very true.
And I was also going to mention, okay, probably pass this along to Brother Anger, that he's the one that usually handles when people write out their testimony tracts, maybe using this as a guideline for people writing their testimonies, going through and giving what happened in their lives, addressing each of these steps along the way.
You know, I was looking here for a copy. Oh, there it is. Okay, here's a copy of, this is one of the tracts that we wrote there, and there's a number of these. Here's one, Can You Find the Cow? You remember that one, and I suppose you've still got it back there, but those 5 points are all right here towards the end. A number of the tracts that we wrote there at Lehi have that same outline in it, and then we use different passages and different explanations that might be of some help along the line there in the personal testimony tracts, I think, also. So here's a question that I got from Chris. He's asking, do you feel like the Salvation Bible Basics study adequately deals with the dynamics that you presented today? And the answer is yes. It's all incorporated in there, not necessarily as the 5 steps, but definitely all of that material is there in a very strong way. Now, what the material in the Salvation Bible Basics book does not have, and that's my book here. Let's see, here we go. It's this one here, which is available at Lehi Valley at the bookstore, or it's available also on my blog in order to be able to get it in a downloadable form. That material was really written for people with a more Western view, coming at Scripture from there, and an understanding, a little bit of an understanding of God and of a more biblical worldview, if you will. Not that they have to be biblical, but coming from more of a biblical worldview. And so I would say, if that's already there, the frame's already set, then you can move right in there with this material. If the frame is not set, you may actually have to go back and lay more of the frame in order to do that. So that would be my comments on that. I'm trying to see if we've got any other questions from anyone else online. Looks like Chris is it tonight so far. Anyone listening tonight, right there, right below my name, there we go, get my finger in the right spot, is my email address. Drop an email if you'd like to do that. Just real quickly, if you've got a question or a comment, we'd love to include you on this. Let me come back and ask either one of the two of you, if you'd care to make a comment on, are there some other materials that you found that are helpful in presenting the gospel that you've used and used effectively there in the United States, where both of you are ministering? Are you getting ready to make a comment, Brother Rust?
I think Rick is...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got my mic.
I think he's coming, but he's muted.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, there we go.
I have used the track here called The Bridge before. It's kind of a graphic. There's some graphics in it.
I'm familiar with that. Have you found that to be effective with folks?
Yes, I have, and I usually use it, you know, if I go in the first time and I go through the entire gospel with someone, and now, you know, they reject Christ, so it gives me another tool to come into the home with. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I talked to you recently, and my goal, and even with this lady that came forward on Sunday, is to start using the Salvation Bible Basics lessons to go into the home with. So that's our goal to focus on in the new year.
Mm-hmm. I've been real impressed. For a number of years, I used that bridge illustration, sometimes drawn my own, sometimes I don't know if it's the same track that I've seen before, but probably pretty much the same. And I found that bridge, because of the graph, it seems to bring the truth home. And I think that's what I like about graphics, simple drawings, is that they often kind of worm their way in beyond just words. They go right to the heart and kind of help a person catch a view of what you're talking about. And that was one of the reasons that we ended up producing the Scripture Diagram Graphics book, which are meant to be very simple diagrams in order to present the gospel. Originally, we developed this, and Brian actually was a big part from a trip in Africa. We developed it for Africans, and then I fell in love with it, using it in America, wound up using it with foreigners that were there, a lot of Spanish-speaking people, was able to kind of cut across language barriers and dealt with doctors and lawyers even with it. And never had anybody offended because it was too simplistic. Many of them commented that it helped make the truth just kind of more real. But that bridge is, I think, a very, very simple graphic to describe a gospel presentation. I think that's really good. How about you, Brian? Do you have anything that you've used effectively there that you want to mention to us?
Well, I was just going to mention the Scripture Diagrams book that you just held up. We've used some of those just recently with the Chinese students that we're working with. Also, the Salvation Bible Basics, of course, using those. One of the things that I would like to try to do more, and a step that maybe gets skipped, which shouldn't be, even here in the States, is just addressing some of those things in the frame. I don't think we can really assume anymore a biblical understanding in most cases. It's gotten further afield than that, I guess you could say, with most people.
Yeah, I think that's true. I used to be, you'd say foreigners are often out of the loop because they don't have necessarily a biblical base. But now, even in America, it's very true. Many of the young people that have grown up now are in high school, college age, and coming out of college and university have never even darkened the door of a church before in the United States. And that's a very sad commentary indeed. So, well, let me come back to you guys, ask you if you have any final comments before we close out, or questions that we should address here this evening before we start in the mode of closing down.
Well, my only comment would be is, I thoroughly enjoy how you focus on the frame and then a thorough presentation of the gospel, and we're seeing more and more, even in our circles, that are trying to almost dumb it down, I guess you could say, by doing less and less. And I think we're doing a disservice to seeing genuine conversion because of it.
Yeah, I think you're on the mark there. I think we have to give people a thorough understanding. At the same time, I understand where many men are at. I'm in the same boat. I don't want to take forever to get to the gospel. And
no.
So, you know, it's this balancing act that we do, and I guess what really has to determine how long we spend with someone is how much do they really understand and what gaps have to be plugged. And if we don't understand that, we're going to have a hard time knowing how much we need to present. So I appreciate that comment and those thoughts. Brian, any last comments?
Just kind of echo those sentiments that I don't think we can, even though you're presenting an outline here, steps to follow, we can't approach this as a formula. We really need to deal with people on an individual basis and really ask, be constantly asking questions to check their understanding before we can move on. And it will take time, usually.
Okay, well, appreciate both of you being here with us. Let me make a comment or two to those of you that are watching, as well as the both of you that are here with us live. Appreciate that. I'm going to have one more of these workshops that we'll do in this method. We're going to be talking about the quest, and of course there we're dealing with questions. And what I find is that many people, when we start talking about the question part of this, they say, well, I already know how to ask questions. And the truth is, most people do not ask questions properly. And I want to be able to kind of touch upon that. But here's where we're headed with all this. I'm going to ask those of you that are interested in honestly learning more about how to use questions in a powerful way, I'm going to ask you to write into me at my address there at P.D. Hammett. There we go. We got it. Let me get it over here. There we go. It's backwards. When I get my finger up here, it goes the opposite way of which way I move my hand. So, but write me at pdhammett@gmail.com and just let me know that you're interested. What I want to do is set up some private sessions where a number of us would get together in a live interaction and be able to work on some of this. And I can hand off some of this and answer questions directly on how to take your questions and make them far more powerful. And honestly, using questions is a very simple method that you can learn, that it doesn't take lots of preparation, and it's very powerful and comes right out of the Word of God. And I'd really like to be able to share that with you. So that's where we're going to head. And next week, not next week, it'll actually be 2 weeks. We are going to plan to start this, and I'm going to ask you and challenge you to write me and let me know that you're interested, and then we'll set up a time. Hopefully that will work for most of us, and we will record it for those that are involved that can't make it. But we want to try to get as many folks on board as possible that want to work on this in more of a personal setting. And so that's where I'm headed with this. Now, with that, let me say, next Monday, it is my plan to take Monday off here, and so we will not have a workshop, Lord willing, next Monday, unless something intervenes. And it could intervene where we can, excuse me, where we can actually meet Monday. But at this point, I'm thinking I will not be able to. I'm going to have to be out of pocket. Enough said about that right now. But my plan is to be back in 2 weeks on Monday night and finish up with our last workshop, and then give you the challenge to write me if you're interested, and we'll pull everybody together that's interested and see if we can work on these questions for one or two sessions, and see if we can bring everybody along a little further. So I appreciate everybody that's joined us, those of you that are watching. I know we've got a number of folks watching at different locations that you're doing that, and then, of course, many, many people that are watching these. I get emails all through the week from folks who are watching these the video recordings. And so we appreciate you joining in. Hope that it's been of some value to you. And trust God will bless you as you have opportunity to give the gospel to others. God bless, and Lord willing, see you in 2 weeks.